The Lord be with you. Welcome, welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. Great to see all of you today. We pray God's blessings on our time together. Long weekend, special music, 4th of July, a very, very festive time. And we give thanks most of all for the freedom that we have in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. His life, His death, His resurrection has set us free from sin, death, and the power of the devil. And if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Thanks be to God. You'll notice that we are vicarless today as a part of Vicar's farewell tour. He's preaching in Hickman today. This will be his last time preaching in Hickman. But fear not, we are not really vicarless, because we have a vicar wannabe who moved in yesterday, and our soon-to-be new vicar, Vicar Scammon, is here with his wife, Lena, and daughter, Katie. There you go. You guys want to wave or smile or whatever? So let's welcome them to Nebraska, shall we? The only time you'll get a round of applause here, I guarantee you that. Unless you start preaching 7-minute sermons. Okay. So, a couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn, number 966, Before You, Lord, We Bow. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3. Divine Service Setting 3, that's on page 184 and following. Have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side, propers are on the other. We'll sing the introit together when we get to that spot. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we come before You this day with humble hearts. There have been many times when we have abused and misused the gifts that You have so graciously given us. We have taken the freedoms that we enjoy in this great country, and we have used them as an excuse to sin boldly, to deny You and Your Word. Heavenly Father, we ask You to bring us to repentance in light of Your Word. Repentance individually, and repentance as a country. Heavenly Father, return us to You and to Your Word, and teach us this day of Your great love, manifest in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for us, for forgiveness, salvation, life everlasting. Heavenly Father, may this be the heart, core, center, and soul of all of our celebrations today, this weekend, and throughout our life. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Hymn 966.
Thank you.
83, page 184. Page 184, please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
In the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray for your godless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, and by His authority, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the introit.
People.
be to God on high. And giver of all good things, graft into our hearts the love of your name. Increase in us true religion. Nourish us with all goodness, and of your great mercy, keep us in the same. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Continue with the readings. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday after Trinity is from Exodus chapter 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Is from Romans chapter 6. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Continue with the Alleluia and verse. Please stand for the Holy Gospel.
Alleluia.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said of those of old, "You shall not murder," and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, "You fool," will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. This is the Gospel of our Lord. We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed, page 191.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God, light of life, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to and sits at the right hand of the Father, and He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. Continue with the hymn 730, What is the World to Me? 730.
God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our sermon this morning is the Old Testament lesson read a few moments ago from the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus, dear friends, in Christ. The first commandment doesn't stand alone. It isn't some sort of arbitrary, isolated word. The jealousy of God doesn't come from His cruel and spiteful nature, like the Greek and Roman gods who are always in competition for the honor of men. No, the first commandment, God's demand for exclusive obedience, is predicated on a promise. It is predicated on the gospel. It is rooted in God's gracious action toward His people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. God has given Himself to His people. He has acted to deliver them. He has established a relationship with them founded on His deeds of salvation. He is their God. They are His people. And now their saving God asks, demands their fear, their love, their trust. The first commandment implies a promise. You shall need no other gods. Only the true God has delivered His people from bondage in Egypt. Not the gods of Canaan, not the gods of Egypt, Greece, or Rome, for that matter. Only the true God has delivered you from the bondage of sin and death. Not the gods of Muhammad or Joseph Smith or the many gods of the East. Only the true God has sent His only begotten Son into the flesh to suffer and die, bearing your sin upon Himself and paying its price unto death. No other God offered the sacrifice sufficient for the sin of the world. Only the God who is the Father of Jesus. And no other God raised up His Son, victorious over death and hell, for you. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I think I just said it a couple weeks ago. If you can find another God who has delivered you from sin, death, and the power of the devil, you're welcome to Him. But only the God who speaks in our text this very day has given His Son into death for you. Only this God has raised Him up again in victory, so that as Jesus lives, so you too will live. The first commandment is founded on God's action, that He has given Himself to you in His Son. It's a command, to be sure, stern law, the most potent law ever offered, the foundation of all other laws, of every other command. But it is predicated on a promise. The saving relationship God has established with you through His Son. The God we are called upon to fear, to love, to trust above all things, has given Himself to you for your salvation. He has delivered you from the penalty of death and hell by giving His Son in your place. The gods of this world promise much. They promise deliverance. They promise salvation. They promise to provide for your needs. They promise freedom. They promise prosperity. They promise greatness. They promise to fight for you, to take up your cause, to be your advocate. And we look at ourselves. We look at our lives. We look at our society. And we see much to be delivered from. We are poor. We are downtrodden. We are tyrannized. We are trampled on. We are exploited. We are treated unjustly. We are desperate for a word of hope. And the gods are all too happy to speak it. They know what we are seeking. And on billboards, on television, in the paper, if anyone ever reads the paper anymore, they all make their offer of salvation. They trumpet their promises to the masses, hoping for obedience, seeking followers, desiring sacrifice. And they are all in competition with one another. Each is seeking to be the one you fear, love, and trust above all else. They know what you want, and they want to be your God. And we're all too happy to oblige. Luther had it right when he said in the Large Catechism, "A God is that to which we look for all good, and in which we find refuge in every time of need." To have a God is nothing else than to trust and believe in Him with our whole heart. The gods demand worship. The gods demand obedience. The gods demand images. And so we craft our idols. We hew them out of the rock. And we travel many miles. We pay a lot of money to go see them. We build statues of our gods and we house them in Greek temples. We carve their faces into mountains. We have our own hallowed ground and pilgrimage sites, and we celebrate all the high feast days. Every god has its image. Every one. Whether it hangs on your wall, sits in your garage, or hangs from a pole. And every god has its demands, whether it be your loyalty, your money, or your vote. And every god demands sacrifice, whether it's your time, your integrity, or your worship. And we bow down before the images of our gods, giving them homage, promising obedience, promising loyalty, promising to fear, to love, to trust in them above all else. We make our promises to our gods. We swear our oaths of allegiance. We have promised to follow them because they have promised to give us every good thing. We bow down before the images we have created in their honor, praying that they'll notice and accept our loyalty. But as we return, as we go back to our idols day after day, year after year, we notice something. They deteriorate. The elements, the wind and the waves, the snow and the ice take their toll on the images of stone and metal, cloth and paper. Fire consumes them. Water damages them. Time itself launches an attack on them. And the victory of time over our idols is as inevitable as it is slow. Time takes its toll and will one day erase all of our images, all of our idols, that we won't even be able to tell they ever existed. God knows this fate of our idols, our images. And so He says, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Once again, this is a command. Law, stern law, predicated on a promise. Like the ones in whose honor we make them, all idols will fail. All idols will pass away. And so in love, God calls on us to cling to something that endures, that will last, that will truly deliver on the promise of salvation. For the gods cannot deliver. Their images will fade away. They'll eventually succumb to the ravages of time and years and centuries. But much sooner than that, the gods themselves will fail us. They'll let us down, failing to provide for us as they promised. They will be shipwrecked by scandal and division. They will find obstacles in their path too great for them to surmount. They will be thwarted by events completely outside of their control. Maybe they'll deceive you. They'll take your obedience, your loyalty, your money, and do the very opposite of what you hoped. They will betray those who they follow. Or, on the other hand, maybe they'll succeed. Perhaps the gods can give us some good. Maybe they can deliver us from opposing armies, keep us safe from criminals that wish to hurt us. Maybe they could even protect our liberties, give us freedom, deliver us from tyranny. Maybe. But any benefit that the gods give us ends at the moment we draw our last breath. Even if they can deliver on their promises, when our final hour comes, they will fail. At that moment, they will be shown for who they truly are. False gods. At the point of death, all false gods pass away. All false gods fail, for they too are subject to death. They too will one day be no more. The same enemies that surround you surround them, and their powerlessness in the face of death proves that they were no place to put your fear, love, and trust. The only God who can save, the only God who truly deserves your fear, your love, your trust, is the God who has the power over death and hell. The very God who said to His people of old, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Only this God, the true God, has conquered death for you by sending His Son to die in your place. Only this God, the true God, gives you this salvation, making you His child by putting you to death and raising you up again in the font. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. The only true God, dear friends, is the Father of Jesus, who is the very image of God. And this image you can trust, because this image is not subject to decay or the ravages of time, but is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. There is no other God who deserves honor. There is no other God who deserves worship, but the only true God and Him alone. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. In this world, it may be that those who trust in the gods and hate the true God live comfortably and without need, while those who reject the gods and love the true God suffer persecution and deprivation. But appearances are deceiving, dear friends, and death makes all things clear. For when death comes to you, so will the promise. If we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. God is jealous for His honor because He loves you. He loves you so much that He has no desire for you to chase after other gods who promise much but can never deliver. Therefore, He has not only acted to deliver you by sending His Son to suffer, die, and rise again for you, but He comes to you in the Word, working faith within you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And now, only through the Holy Spirit's work, you believe. You are made His children, restored to the Father through the blood of His Son. The first commandment, or any of the other nine for that matter, cannot be kept apart from the faith worked by the Holy Spirit. No one of us can keep the law apart from Christ, who kept it for us. In Christ, by faith in Christ, you keep the law. For in Christ, by faith in Christ, you have no other gods before the true God. And there is no other God that you need, for only the Father of Jesus sent His Son to die for you, to live for you, to rise again for you. In the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. We stand and we sing the offertory, found on page 192.
Welcome in the name of Jesus, the one true God. At this time, we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of life in the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit would be yours today and always. Thank you. We continue now with the prayers of the church. Please stand. In addition to those prayers that are listed in our news and notes, we pray for Good Shepherd member Leola Krenke, who has been hospitalized this past week. We pray. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, who has redeemed us and won us out of bondage to sin and death, look with favor upon this congregation. Lead us away from all false idols, from anything that we would fear, love, or trust above you. And make this house a place where your name is called upon and your word, taught in its truth and purity, is gladly heard and believed. Lord, in your mercy, gracious Lord, you have established families and governments for earthly order. Help us to show proper honor to all whom you have placed in authority over us. Bless families with unity, love, and service to one another. Bless the authorities of our land that they would be wise, diligent, and quick to defend your gifts of life, liberty, and all the other rights and freedoms you have endowed. Protect all families who travel this weekend to celebrate your gift of our nation. Lord, in your mercy, defend us, Heavenly Father, from the temptations of Satan, where he would lead us to disdain our neighbor's body, chastity, possessions, or reputation. By the power of your word and spirit, create in us new hearts, clean hearts, and defend us from all covetousness. When we do err, return us to our baptism in repentance, that we would again die to sin and rise to eternal life in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, look with favor upon your church, here and scattered throughout the world. Bless the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod as we enter our national convention very soon in Milwaukee. Bless all the delegates, including Pastor Morundi, with safety in their travels, wisdom in their deliberations. And Heavenly Father, bless us as a church body, that your word would reign over us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Visit our brothers and sisters in Christ who are sick, ill, lonely, face any trouble of the body in their time of distress. Focus their eyes upon Christ Jesus, that they might take comfort in his love for them and his presence even in the midst of suffering. Heavenly Father, if it be your will, remove their burdens and restore them to wellness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, You sent your Son, Christ Jesus, to fulfill the law for us. He has lived righteously for us and taken up all the punishment our sin deserved with His death upon the cross. And thus, we have life and salvation in His name. Receive our thanks for all the faithful who have gone on before us and who are with Him now. And keep us ever faithful by the work of Your Spirit in word and sacrament, that we too would obtain the joys of the light of the world to come. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. Into Your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in Your mercy, through Your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Service of the Sacrament, page 194.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
Give them unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to You, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake He died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling Your will and gaining for You a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Your glorious name, evermore praising You and saying,
is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to His disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
body of Christ for you. And you break the body of Christ, our Lord and our Savior, the body of Christ is for you. The body of Christ is for you. The body of Christ.
Thank you.
body of Christ is free. The body of Christ is
body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
Continue now with the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. We stand.
Oh.
thanks unto the Lord, for He is good.
Let us pray. We give thanks to You, Almighty God, that You have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore You that of Your mercy, You would strengthen us through the same in faith toward You and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.